Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
First, this afternoon, we're turning to that story that has been dominating the headlines today, and that is that survivors of abuse at the prestigious Blackrock College and other Spirton-run schools have been urged to come forward to share their story. This comes amid admissions by the religious order that the scandal, which first emerged, of course, last week here on RTE Radio 1 in an RTE Radio documentary, may run much deeper than initially feared. The Spiritans have also confirmed that a person who has been accused of sexual abuse is still living on the campus of Blackrock College. This revelation was raised in the Dáil this afternoon with Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Well, for more on all of this, our reporter Barry Lenehan joins us now. And Barry, developments coming thick and fast this afternoon. And indeed, since brothers Mark and David Ryan shared their stories of abuse on the Blackrock campus. So where are we at this point this evening?
Yeah, so independent experts have been appointed to engage with survivors of sexual abuse at Spirton-run schools. This is to be part of a restorative justice programme established by the Spirton congregation and a group of past pupils of Blackrock College. The programme was launched at a press conference in Dublin's RDS this afternoon, a pilot scheme we were told had been in operation since the summer of last year. This afternoon was the first time we heard from the Spiritans since Liam O'Brien's documentary of last week and those revelations that the congregation has paid out €5 million in settlements and support services in related to survivors of abuse since 2004. But it was, as I say, the first time we've heard words from the provincial of the Spiritans or Holy Ghost Order, Father Martin Kelly, and he issued a fresh apology but also admitted more revelations are yet to come.
It is clear from the pilot restorative justice programme that there are many more past pupils who have been abused and who have not come forward. On behalf of the Spiritan congregation in Ireland, I want to express my deepest and most sincere sorrow to every person who was abused by a member of the Spiritans or by a staff member in any of our schools. I sincerely apologise for this. What was done to you as innocent children was cruel and indefensible, and we Spiritans are ashamed of this. Failure to act promptly resulted in children being abused who could have been protected had corrective action been taken earlier.
So at this point, Barry, what do we know about this restorative justice programme?
Well, it stems from a group of four former students of Blackrock College from the classes of 78 and 79 who came together last year. All had suffered abuse while pupils there, and one of those was Louis Hoffman, who was abused at 13 years of age by Father Sinan Corrie.
He brought me into a room, which I thought was a bit odd, locked the door, sat me down, and then took my hand and put it on him. But that just stuck with me. But roll forward to 1997, and my father died, and it was his funeral removal in Dorky Church. I sat in the front row, and there, as the priest came out to do the removal, came four priests from the school, uninvited by me, I might add. There, on the end of the line of the four priests, was Father Corrie. And my anger boiled up. I was obviously seriously emotionally upset. And I turned to my late brother, who was sitting beside me, and I said, "That tried to abuse me." David said, "He tried to abuse me as well, Louis." So that was the beginning for me. In 2020, almost exactly 2 years ago, the Spiritans, are the school, I'm not sure which, sold some land, which is on the basically on the side of Blackrock College, for €16 million. The union, the Blackrock Union, have a Facebook page where they post stuff about, you know, events and stuff. And this article was shared on this group. I basically made a comment which basically said, I hope some of this money that they get is going to be used, you know, help the victims. It's not me, but the real victims of this. And then other people started coming in. All these posts were deleted. And I got really angry about this. And I decided I needed to set something up where people had a chance.
Now, Mr. Hoffman went on to say how when Mark Vincent Healy came forward in 2012 with regards his allegations that he tried to get something going for those who might have been affected at Blackrock College. This around 2012, he said that he contacted the principal of Blackrock College, Alan McGuinty, as well as past pupils' unions, but ultimately this, quote, fizzled out, he said. However, off the back of what happened, as he outlined there last year, a Facebook group was set up, himself and his colleagues, and the press conference heard how 38 men posted reports of abuse on this dedicated Facebook page for past pupils of Blackrock College over an 8-week period early last year. And one of the men who spoke this afternoon, John Coulter, he reported how 25 of those 38 men were 60 years of age, meaning they came from the class of 1979 in Blackrock or Willow Park College with their stories of abuse, meaning, he said, that 21% of that particular class had come forward with allegations of abuse during their time there. Out of this, they said, the restorative justice programme grew rather than the documentary aired this last week on RT Radio.
So how will this programme work, do we know?
So a pilot programme, as we said, has been in place since last summer, chaired by Tim Chapman, who is a restorative justice expert based in Northern Ireland. And this pilot programme now to become a full programme. Mr Chapman told us today that he's already met with 19 former students of Blackrock or Willow Park College. He outlined how the process worked, mainly that those involved often came back to the college, often on a Saturday, to meet with him and a representative of the Spiritans and also Blackrock or Willow Park College. And ultimately, those who met there, they told their story as if it were yesterday, he said, often taking over an hour, that those could go into very minutiae detail of what happened, that they could, quote, still smell the perpetrator of all those years ago, feel the saliva, that they might come in as very successful people, but underneath they were still a very hurt 12-year-old child. Out of those 19, some had taken cases with an Garda Síochána. Others wanted full correspondence or disclosure of their interactions with Blackrock once they had made a complaint to the college, whilst others were also taking legal actions.
What else did we learn this afternoon, Barry?
So allegations that 57 people have been abused on the Blackrock campus against 77 different individuals. We learned today how this has now risen, overall figure has risen to 78. Four of those 78 are still alive, although one we were told was a clear case of mistaken identity. Another was before the courts at the moment, and another two were at a very advanced age and of no risk to anyone. The number of people who have come forward has also risen further than 233. There are allegations against two lay people as well. While Liam Lally, the safeguarding coordinator of the Spiritans, he says he'd been contacted by 60 people since allegations first aired on RTE Radio 1 last Monday. Most, he said, pertained to Blackrock College, with allegations made against one further member of the order than those known heretofore. And many of those accused, he said, have already faced their allegations, and he's referred anything fresh on to An Garda Síochána. Issues were also raised with regards somebody who's still living on Blackrock College campus, whom there are allegations against. This came from questioning from reporters, including our social affairs correspondent Alva Keneally.
And do any of those people who you've received complaints about currently have or have recently had access to the campus?
Yes.
How recently? Or are they still there?
At present.
They're there at present?
Yes.
Living on the campus?
Yes.
If we receive an allegation against anybody, whether they're Spiritan, priest or brother, teacher or worker in any capacity in the congregation, we automatically report to the Gardaí. And if the person is alive, we also report to TUSLA. So then we are advised by the Gardaí and by TUSLA how to deal with the situation.
Because if it's current and there's someone who's alleged to have abused children on the campus, I presume you're saying TUSLA's looking into that and he's living on the campus, so therefore TUSLA's looking into that.
It has been reported to TUSLA. Okay. We received the allegation within the last 10 days. Immediately on receiving the allegation, we reported it to the Gardaí. We reported it to TUSLA. We are in touch with TUSLA and the Gardaí to see how to proceed.
And was this person working in the school up until 10 days ago?
Absolutely not.
Okay, when was the last time this person worked in the school?
Probably 20 years ago. Okay. An elderly man.
And he would have limited, had no interaction, mobility. To be clear, with the students in recent times?
Not that I'm aware of.
Father Martin Kelly and Liam Lally answering the questions there. And this revelation was raised in the Dáil this afternoon with the Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Labour leader Ivana Batric said it highlighted the need for an urgent public inquiry into allegations of abuse at Spiriton-run schools and at Blackrock College.
I'm glad you've committed, in response to my question yesterday, to a debate in this House next week on this. I do welcome the apology from the Spiritans this morning and the announcement of an independent process, but we do still need to consider that public inquiry and in particular to see what the state could have done to prevent this. And we also need to look at current concerns. News is breaking about a person about whom serious allegations of abuse, against whom serious allegations of abuse have been made, who's living on the grounds of Blackrock College. I've been supplied with the name of that person, and I think there are current issues around child protection concerns that an inquiry does need to look into, and I look forward to having a debate in this House on the nature of any inquiry that needs to be undertaken and the nature of ongoing concerns that so many survivors have expressed to me and I know to others in this House.
I think if information has come, obviously that should be referred to the Gardaí immediately, and that is an issue that we must allow the Gardaí pursue cases, because people should be brought before and held accountable to our criminal justice system, and there can be no hiding place for anybody in that respect. And that will be an issue that we have to assess in terms of what potentially would be the impact of an inquiry on cases that are live and current, and that would be proceeded with.
You would wonder, Barry, how might parents of current pupils react to the revelations that we're hearing today, and indeed what we've heard over the last week or so?
Well, that's the question I put to Father Martin Kelly, Provincial of the Spiritans.
Have any parents withdrawn their pupils from Spiriton schools since these revelations emerged on RTÉ Radio last Monday?
I haven't heard of any.
And would you be surprised if they did, in particular given what you've just said there in relation to the person living on Blackrock campus and the allegations against them?
Well, that only applies to one school. I can understand why people would not want to be associated with the Spiritans. I can understand that.
So you wouldn't be surprised if parents did perhaps withdraw?
Be surprised, but if it happened, I would understand it.
So we might just go back then, Barry, to the original question, where we are at this evening, as we have a restorative justice programme. Some survivors are unhappy, though, and there's growing momentum still for an independent inquiry.
Yes, survivors on RTÉ's live line earlier saying they're not fully happy with the restorative justice programme. The Blackrock College Union, which represents past pupils at the school, an 8,000 strong membership, it has called for a full inquiry into sexual abuse that took place both at Blackrock and its junior school, Willow Park. Survivors of the Spiritans, they've been in touch with me as well throughout the day, and indeed with the station, saying they want a full inquiry, while also raising the issue that some victims and survivors, that they were abused on Blackrock campus but not pupils of the college itself. Perhaps, they say, underlining the need for a full investigation into what happened here. Those behind the restorative justice programme, those former pupils, they demurred somewhat from calling for a full public investigation into what happened, simply saying at the moment their focus is wanting people to come forward to have their stories heard, to get a hand on the issue, although they did say they would support an inquiry if it was initiated. The Spiritans saying they would work with a full inquiry as well, and politically that is where the momentum seems to be going this evening. The Taoiseach saying he is looking into the matter when asked about it in the Dáil this afternoon.
All right, Barry Lenihan, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on all of that, and we will be returning to this story a little later in the programme, just after 5 o'clock. We'll be speaking to safeguarding officer with the Spiriton Order, Liam Lally. Up next, though, Anna Sochanska, Polish ambassador to Ireland, will be speaking to us about the stray missile that killed two Polish citizens.
That's the latest number of Spiriton members and staff who have had allegations of sexual abuse made against them. 77 religious and 5 lay staff. The number has risen in recent days, with more people coming forward to make allegations. 4 of those accused are still alive, and it emerged today one of them remains living on the grounds of Blackrock College. Liam Lally is the safeguarding coordinator at the Spiriton congregation. He's a former teacher and principal at schools unconnected to the Spiritons, and he joins me now. Liam Lally, you're very welcome to Drive Time.
Thank you, Cormac. Good evening.
The number so far of people facing allegations, as I say, is 82. How many schools is that?
Pardon, I just missed that question.
How many schools did the allegations of abuse occur in? What are we talking about?
There are nine Spiriton schools, and there are allegations connected with almost all of them.
And what are they? What schools?
Well, the main schools are Black Rock, Willow, Rockwell, St Mary's, Temple Oak. Then you have Willow Junior and Willow Senior. And is that the nine? They're all listed on the Spiriton website, yeah.
So all of the Spiriton schools?
Yes.
And this, can I address the issue that I referred to in the introduction there? And it was raised by Ivana Bacik of Labour in the Dáil today. She said that news is breaking about a person against whom serious allegations of abuse have been made and who's living on the grounds of Blackrock College. Can you confirm that?
In the last 10 days, I have received an allegation against a person who is on the campus. I have reported that to the Gardaí and I've reported it to TUSLA.
And the allegations relate to what time period?
The allegations go back to the late 70s and early 80s.
And is this person under Garda investigation?
My job is to report to the Gardaí when I receive a complaint. The Gardaí won't necessarily start an investigation on my report because it is second hand. But if the complainant or the contacts the Gardaí and makes a statement to the Gardaí saying I was abused by X or Y, then the Gardaí will open an investigation.
Is it one complainant or more than one complainant against this person living on the grounds of Blackrock College?
I have received one complaint from one complainant.
Will the Spiritans pay legal representation for this person?
That hasn't arisen as yet.
Is his residence, for example, obviously being paid for by the Spiritans?
Is resident on the campus.
Okay. Can I speak more generally to you, Liam, about the litany of abuse?
Could I just add to that, Cormac, just before we leave it? A person has the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. So, you know, I'm reluctant to go into much detail because this person, like you or I, have the presumption of innocence until the Gardaí complete their investigation and then forward to the DPP.
And that is completely accepted, of course. Can I talk to you about the litany of abuse? Can you give us a timeline of abuse? When was the earliest allegation? What is the latest allegation in terms
The vast majority of the allegations stem from the 1960s into the 1970s and the early 1980s. So that is the vast majority of the complaints.
So none in the 90s, Liam?
There is one or two from the early 90s. I think
when I ask you for the timeline of abuse, it's from the 60s to the 90s, is that right?
Well, to the early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you class as early 90s? What year?
Well, 94 is the mid-90s. Date that's in my mind, yeah.
Okay. And in terms of informing the Gardaí or the families, was that done in each and every case?
The numbers that we put up in response to the documentary in one, there were 233 complaints. They would have all been reported to the Gardaí. Now, as I've been here 10 years, so as complaints come in, they are reported to the Gardaí. And when I started here first, it was to the HSE. Now it's to the Child and Family Agency, TUSLA.
Was there ever a delay, Liam, in informing the Gardaí?
Ah, yes. In the past, there was often an undue delay in reporting to the Gardaí.
Okay.
In the past, and by I mean in the 1980s and 1990s.
But not since you were there, is that it?
No.
And why, in the past, was there a delay?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Cormac. I'm busy, Cormac, looking after things from 2012 to the present day, without going back to the past. But
can I ask you this? The decision makers, the people who were in receipt of allegations of abuse, could they be consulted now as to why there was a delay?
I think most of them are dead. But there are some still alive,
is that right?
Well, there would be a few who would be very elderly at this stage.
And could we ascertain why there was a delay? Because a delay in informing Gardaí, there are grave consequences, aren't there?
Yes, and I think it was a point that was brought out today at the press conference that in the past, when we go back to the 1960s and early 70s, children did come forward and inform their parents, and parents didn't believe them. They came forward to teachers and priests in the school, and they weren't believed. So I think it was because of that there was that delay in reporting to the Gardaí. They just didn't believe that what the children were saying,
which was totally wrong,
of course.
Did any of the alleged perpetrators or abusers die or leave the jurisdiction during that delay, I wonder, any of the delays?
I couldn't be sure of that because we're going back to the 1960s and 1970s.
So there was a delay only in the 60s and 70s. Could there have been delays in the 80s as well?
Well, Cormac, most of the allegations that have come through in more recent times. Okay, the incidents of abuse occurred in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. But we have people coming forward today and yesterday and for the last 10 years that I've been here, and they come forward 40 years, maybe 50 years after they experienced the abuse. So while the abuse occurred in the 60s and 70s, we have mostly not heard about it until the late 90s and into the 2000s.
So when then, Liam, did the Spiritans become aware of this level of abuse? 82 alleged abusers abusing hundreds of children in Spiritan schools. When did you become aware of that level of abuse?
Well, if you take the review that was carried out in 2012, that is just before I was appointed, the figures at that stage were, I think, was it 48 Spiritans had been accused of abusing children. Now, that 48 would have gone back to as far as 1975, because the review looked at statistics from 75 up to 2012. So at that stage, there were 48. Since 2012, for the last 10 years, you can do the maths.
It's nearly doubled.
Yes. Well, especially in the last few days, because of the publicity, a good number more have come through.
So how did the review, I wonder, fail to uncover nearly half of the abusers and the allegations?
Well, it's because the people hadn't come forward. Like, the review worked on all of the allegations that we had received at that time.
Sorry, who conducted the review, Liam?
The review was carried out by the National Board for Safeguarding Children in the Catholic Church in Ireland.
Okay. Were there not contemporaneous files or records within Blackrock College or any of the Spiritan schools that would have uncovered some of the allegations even more?
But the review worked on all of the allegations that had been documented at that time. Mm-hmm. But since then, since 2012, obviously a lot more have come through and will come through in the next year.
Was there ever an attempt
to
cover this up, Liam? To cover up the good name of schools, fee-paying schools like Blackrock College?
Uh, The quick answer is I don't know, but what I can say is that when people came forward, there may have been a tendency to protect the institution rather than believe the child and act on what the child said.
How so?
Pardon?
Why do you believe that?
Because the child story was not acted upon. If the child had been believed and action taken, if they had been reported, if the incident had been reported to the Gardaí, well then that would have maybe.
But it's not just
a prosecution.
It's not just that the child story wasn't believed. Abusers were moved.
That is a fact. It happened in the Spiritans and it happened in dioceses all over the country.
So forget
and
other dioceses. Let's talk about the Spiritans and their practice.
Okay.
So abusers were moved. It's not just that the child wasn't believed.
Yeah.
Abusers were moved to other places where they could abuse more children. Isn't that right?
That is true.
One case, Liam, they were rehired.
That is indefensible.
That's correct, isn't it?
Yes, the people, priests were moved around, and that is true. That should not have happened. If the allegations were believed and they were taken seriously at the time, then that would not have happened. The Spiritans are not offering any defence of that.
But is that a cover-up?
Well, you can call it a cover-up if you want.
Hang on a second. Because let's clarify this. They were also moved internationally, but they were moved domestically as well. And there were, once they were moved, am I right in saying that there were allegations that were forthcoming in those schools as well?
We have allegations against some men from different schools, yes.
And were children believed at that point?
Again, we're going back many years. I'd imagine not, because if they had been believed, and if, and this is speculation, if they had been believed and taken seriously and reported, then that would have ended it. Now,
you're telling us that you don't know if there was a cover-up, yet abusers were moved from school to school and allegations of sexual abuse were following these people, and yet all of the time the people in authority did not believe the children.
In some cases, Cormac, now not in every case, but certainly in some cases, when an incident like that was reported, the priest was taken and sent on for 6 months or a year to a centre either in Stroud in England or somewhere in America.
And the Gardaí were never alerted.
And when they came back, they often came back with a report saying that they were now could return to ministry.
But
that would not happen now.
I'm correct in saying that the Gardaí were never alerted in those situations.
I'd be reluctant to say never. Certainly the Gardaí were alerted in some cases because there have been prosecutions, obviously, over the years. Not very many, but there have been prosecutions.
They're quite recent, aren't they, Liam? Are we talking about the case in 2004?
There's one from that period, yes.
So anyone previous to that?
Well, one of the difficulties, Cormac, and some people say, why is so few? One of the difficulties, and I alluded to it earlier, people did not come forward to...
Let me stop you there, if I may, Liam. And I do this with absolute respect to you and your office and your position. But what we're discussing is the Spiritans as an order and an authority moving alleged abusers from school to school, allegations of sexual abuse following them, and the Gardaí never being alerted. That's exactly what we're discussing here, isn't that right?
Yes, that did happen.
And can I ask you if you believe there was a paedophile ring operating within the Spiritan order? Because that has been questioned.
That has been raised. The answer to that is I don't know. But what I do know is that there are certainly more than one offending priest resident on the same campus. Now, that is a fact. Whether you can jump from that fact to say there was a paedophile ring is a leap that I don't know if I could make that leap.
But, another way to put it is that we now know there were 82 people operating within Spiriton schools sexually abusing in a depraved manner hundreds of children. And what we, if we're to say there isn't a paedophile ring, we're led to believe that there were 82 people acting exclusively of each other without coordination or cooperation and without the knowledge of people in authority within the spirit and order. Isn't that right?
Well, it's covering, of course, a long period, Cormac. We're talking about a period of, you know, probably 50
wouldn't that
years.
Be right? They would have to be operating exclusively of each other and without the knowledge of people in authority for it not to be a paedophile ring.
Well, I don't know. I can't answer that, Cormac. It is a fact that there were offenders, priest offenders, living on the same campus at the same time. Whether they were working as known that each other were offending, that I could not say. One of the features of child abuse is that it is, by its very nature, it is secretive.
You have announced today a restorative justice process.
Yes.
That would be done in private, would it?
Done in private. The way the restorative justice process works is somebody would contact the restorative justice facilitator, Tim Chapman. They would arrange to meet. The person then has an opportunity to tell Tim what exactly they want to tell him, in whatever amount of detail they want to do it. Tim would ask them two questions at the end of that, what it is that they want from the congregation and if they have any questions to ask. That process is sometimes of the people that is the pilot project that we ran for a few months, of the people who came to see Tim, approximately half of them requested a meeting with the provincial, and Tim arranged those meetings.
Can I ask you this though, because it has been described by a caller to Liveline, for example, that this process would be insufficient. Why would anyone seek justice through a process run by an order or a body, the Spiritans, in which the sexual abuse occurred? Wouldn't it be better to have a full public inquiry, as people have called for, with the full force of the state, with the independence of a third party, the state? Wouldn't that be a lot better?
Well, the two things are not mutually exclusive, Cormac. Like, I have worked here for the last 10 years. I have met people who have told their story. They, if they wanted to, they could meet the provincial. We provide support and counselling for those people. Mm-hmm. And that satisfied their needs, not all of their needs, but some of their needs. That will continue in a new way with the restorative justice process.
Okay, and
so
can I ask you finally, and that's, be it a restorative justice process or a full public inquiry, that's in the civil realm, let's say, but there's a criminal realm to all of this and criminal investigations as well. Yeah, and you're cooperating, the Spiritans are cooperating with the Gardaí, are you?
Oh, absolutely. There is no question about us not cooperating with the Gardaí. And in my time here, certainly one person has been prosecuted and jailed, and that is because we cooperate fully with the Gardaí.
Okay. Look, we'll leave it there.
Could I just say one thing finally, Cormac?
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people are upset by the publicity over the last while. I'd like people to be assured of one thing. If they want counselling, they can contact Towards Healing, and the number is 1-800-30-34-16. 1-800-30-34-16, and they can avail of counselling there free of charge.
And people can text us to 51551 as well. Liam Lally, Safeguarding Officer with the Spirit in Order. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Cormac.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
It now seems inevitable that there will be some sort of official inquiry into the abuse allegations involving the Spirit and Order. But what form should that inquiry take? Should it be a fully adversarial public inquiry or a commission of inquiry which would operate behind closed doors and then issue a report? Or something else altogether? Well, Fergal Keane has been asking those questions and he joins me now. And you've covered your fair share of these inquiries and all their guises over the years. A full public inquiry has pitfalls, does it?
It does, and it's been that phrase has been thrown about quite a bit over the last week or two, but we've had many public inquiries over the years and almost all of them have gotten into legal difficulties of one sort or another. Some have dragged on for 10 years or more, and you feel with some of them then that the truth almost got lost because all sides get lawyered up and it can become confrontational, legalistic, with various parties running to the High Court over various issues that just drags on and on. But then there's a commission of inquiry where a judge, almost always a judge, will either sit either alone or with other appointed members appointed by the Oireachtas. They will take evidence behind closed doors and then publish a report that's worked in the past, and it hasn't worked in the past. Mm-hmm. The last one of those, you remember, into the mother and baby's homes, that report was very heavily criticised when it was published. But there can be other forms as well. And I've been speaking to the Professor of Law in UCC, Conor O'Mahony. I asked him if a public inquiry in this case was the only way to go for the Spiritans.
It all depends really on the format of the public inquiry. We've had mixed experiences in this country with public inquiries and some have worked better than others. In particular, we've had a history of quite a number of inquiries which have ended up being very legalistic, long-running affairs, which got bogged down in a lot of adversarial legal argument and haven't always produced satisfactory results at the end of them. An example that's received a lot of publicity recently would be the Mother and Baby Homes Commission of Investigation. The Great Inquiry has been ongoing for a very long time and has encountered quite a few of the same problems. So I think a public inquiry would be a good thing to do here, but we need to ensure that we avoid some of the mistakes of the past.
And what are the alternatives then?
Well, rather than going for the highly legalistic tribunal of inquiry or commission of investigation model, I think we need to start being a bit more creative in how we approach these issues and exploring some of the non-statutory alternatives. I think the Ferns inquiry, which happened some years ago, was an example of a non-statutory inquiry on a not unsimilar issue, which worked pretty well overall. Another possibility would be the Truth Commission model, which has been explored in a number of other countries, such as Canada or South Africa, which has some advantages around avoiding some of the legal and adversarial aspects of these inquiries. It has downsides, on the other hand, in that it doesn't always afford individual accountability in the same way that more formal inquiries do. So there is sometimes something of a trade-off between that question of making something work quickly and smoothly versus, on the other hand, how much hard accountability you can achieve at the end of it.
What did the Ferns inquiry do right? It was run by a judge?
Yes. So the Ferns inquiry was chaired by a judge. It had two other members of the inquiry. Now, it should be said the Ferns inquiry was set up before the Commissions of Investigation legislation came into effect. When you were dealing in particular, if you were dealing with things largely dealing with perhaps individuals who are at this stage deceased, for example, that does sometimes give you maybe a freer hand around the findings that can be made. Things become more complicated if you are running into a situation where you are seeking to make adverse findings against individuals who are still living.
And that's Professor of Law in UCC, Conor O'Mahony. You've also been asking survivor groups for their opinions.
Yeah, you heard Conor there talking about the various forms of inquiry which could take place and how it maybe avoids having them dragging out for too long. But I spoke to Maeve Lewis of the Survivor Group 1 and 4 today. Now, they've been speaking to survivors in the last week, 10 days, and not just of the Spirit and Order. And I asked her what those survivors wanted.
I think survivors in the main are looking for action. For example, people contacting us are not necessarily looking for counselling support. They want to talk to our advocacy team about contacting the Gardaí or Child Protection Services. So I think survivors would very much welcome a public inquiry of some form, an independent inquiry into this matter. But I think it would be very short-sighted to just focus on the Spiritans. I think that's far too narrow. We have had a roll of revelations about other religious congregations in the past couple of years, the Jesuits, the Dominicans. We've also had Scouting Ireland. We've had an episode in Swim Ireland. So in my view, what needs to happen is a commission of inquiry, but into what is it about Irish society that filters through into organisations where the needs and protection of children comes about fourth on the agenda, way behind protecting the good name of the organisation and protecting individual offenders from prosecution. So what is it in our society that is being reflected in these organisations? What value do we place as a society on the protection of children? And why have we such a high incidence of child sexual abuse in this country?
How do you stop something like that becoming bogged down in legalistic issues?
Well, I think there would need to be very clear terms of reference. You know, we have very good legislation governing the setting up and establishment and running of commissions of inquiry. There have been very effective commissions in the past, resulting in things like the Ryan Report back in 2009 into institutional abuse.
Which was a particularly effective and powerful report.
I think that was a report that shocked Irish society. So I think, you know, we're actually due for another report. And Fergal, people tend to look at this as something that is historic. It happened in the past. And in the case of the Spiritans, the disclosures that have been made do refer to things that happened at the end of the last century. But, you know, a recent study showed that the incidence of abuse in Ireland is still one in four. But I think it's crucial that we ask ourselves these hard questions if we are serious about protecting our children.
And that was Maeve Lewis of Survivor Group 1 in 4, ending that report by Fergal Keane.